Hi, everybody. This is Tim Lightfoot from the Huffines Institute. After you listen to the podcast today, make sure you stay around and listen to the closing credits, because after you hear our guest today, you're going to want to know what happened in the week since we recorded the podcast. We got it all at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned. Now, enjoy the podcast.
From the beautiful campus of Texas A&M University, the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology brings you the Sports Medicine Podcast. Our mission is to make sense of and connect the science, practice, and application of the latest findings in sports medicine and human performance to the real world. Here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Well, hello, and welcome to the weekly podcast from the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance. We're so glad that you joined us this week for our discussion this week with another leader in the field of sports medicine and exercise science. And it's probably someone that you haven't heard of before, but is a driving factor in the world of NASCAR racing. And you may think, well, wait, this is sports medicine. Why are we talking about NASCAR racing? Well, you know, may not be aware, but there's a huge physical performance aspect behind NASCAR racing. And so we're so pleased to have Mr. Adam Davis with us today from Stewart Haas Racing. Welcome, Adam, to the podcast. Let me tell everyone a little bit about Adam and his background. Adam is currently the strength and conditioning coach at Stewart Haas Racing. That's the race team for Tony Stewart and Ryan Newman. For 11 years, he was a tire changer and went over the wall, as we said. He worked at Petty Enterprises, at Hendrick Motorsports, at Ginn Racing, and at Haas Racing before it became Stewart Haas, and now he's with Stewart Haas. And we've had the pleasure of knowing Adam for several years, as he's probably one of the forerunners in the interest of how physiological sciences can be brought to pit crews. So again, we're so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Why are you guys in College Station?
To learn a little bit more how we can do better and help me in the weight room throughout the year.
Cool.
Help get the guys better.
Yeah, we've had the privilege to work with Adam for, gosh, 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, it's been at least 4 years.
Yeah, and been bringing pit crew athletes, and we've been testing. And this week is a big weekend. This podcast will be next week, but this weekend, a big race in Texas.
Right.
Team is doing well.
Right, second in points.
Second in
points.
Eight
out. Tony's pumped. So, runs really good at Texas, Phoenix, and Homestead. So,
yeah. This may be a good weekend for you guys.
Got a good shot to win. Absolutely.
Yeah, and again, for those of you listening that don't understand, the championship is a big deal in racing.
Yes.
And number one is not a lot of money, but it also, your name is always on that trophy.
Right.
As being the season champion. So we wish you guys
the best. And Tony's won it twice before. He'd love to have three. So competition is very hard right now, and to win another championship would be awesome.
Well, and be the first owner driver to win since, 1992?
A long time, yeah.
Super. Well, tell us a little bit about pit crews. You know, people, they just see them go out and change the tires and put gas in, and they don't really think of them as athletes.
Right.
Why should we think of pit crew members as athletes?
To be honest, most of our guys are former college athletes. They've played in some kind of high school sports or college sports. We have a few guys that have played D2 football. It's a little more that goes into it than just putting a tire on or hitting lug nuts. I mean, these guys are doing these pit stops in 11 seconds.
Wow.
To change four tires, to put gas in the car, to jack both sides of the car. A lot of strength training goes into it, a lot of plyometric training, quick feet, hand-eye coordination. It really involves athletic-wise, you know, for the guys over the wall.
Yeah. And those tires, just to give the folks some perspective, the tires that you handle are certainly much heavier than the tires on your car.
Right.
I mean, these are like, how much are these
tires? I'm not exactly sure the exact amount, but they're 70 to 80 pounds with the inner liner in them. If they don't have an inner liner, they're about 35 pounds, which is still pretty heavy. But, I mean, they're putting them precisely onto a hub with five studs coming out and not missing in roughly 0.5, 0.6 seconds.
And that's one of the differences between the stock car racing series and things like Formula One and kart.
Right.
Those only have one nut.
One lug nut, yes.
One lug nut on each tire, and you guys still have five.
We're hitting five, yep. So a little more accuracy and hand-eye, and, I mean, these guys are, you know, they're hitting five lug nuts off in, you know, a second. So,
and that does bring up a point. You guys time every piece of the pit stop. So what's your expectation for how long it should take to put the lug nuts on?
It depends. there are some guys that can do it in less than a second.
Okay.
But you run a risk of leaving a wheel loose. Mm. You know, you have to make sure they're torqued on at a certain amount.
Right.
You can run a car around a racetrack with four lug nuts tight. I mean, mm-hmm. it's been done numerous times, but to get all five on, you know, it's roughly a second to 1.2 seconds is really a good time for that.
Right. And after a race, you guys, it's just like any other sport. You videotape all the pit right. stops, and you go through and analyze each pit stop. And that, you do that usually, what, on Mondays or somewhere in that?
Yeah, we have film breakdown. Our pit crew coach will actually do all of that when he gets back from the racetrack. And then usually on Monday afternoon or Tuesday, we'll take all three pit crews individually into our film room, and we'll watch the past weekend's race and to see what we did wrong or what we can improve on.
Yeah, I think probably many of our listeners aren't aware that kind of preparation goes into that. But it's not, you just don't walk to the track and do 11-second pit stops, do you?
No, there's a lot that goes into it. It gets very involved. I mean, we train 5 days a week. Mm. We practice in the beginning of the year 4 days a week. Right now it's down to three just because we chase starts, you know, we kind of slow down a little bit unless we've got problems to fix. But, I mean, it's a 5 day a week deal pretty much.
Just to reiterate, you're changing four tires. You're dumping, what's it, how much gas?
11 gallons of gas.
So usually, but they usually put in two cans, right? So,
right.
So usually 22
yeah.
gallons of gas.
Right.
They're putting 22 gallons of gas, changing four tires in a little bit over 11 seconds.
Absolutely.
I'd love to have service like that at a gas station. Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can it get faster?
I mean, we've always said, I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, 13 seconds was awesome.
Yeah.
And we've gone to 12 seconds, and we've gone to 11. I'm not sure that's for the pit coaches really to diagnose. I mean, I just don't know how. I mean, you can shave tenths here and there, but to shave off a whole second to get down into tenths, I don't know. I mean, the guns can only do so much. The people you can only get from one side of the car to the other so fast.
Right.
And you can only dump the fuel so fast. I mean, they've slowed the cans down as it is, you know, so I don't really see anything getting in the tens. Maybe in the high 10-second bracket, but low 11s right now is real. I mean, you're going to gain quite a few spots on pit road with a low 11-second stop.
Wow. Now, you mentioned earlier you guys have athletes, former athletes. What do you look for when you recruit someone that is going to be on the pit crew?
I actually do a physical test with our guys that come in for tryouts. We do a 40-yard shuttle. We do a hand-eye coordination drill, kind of like a 5-10-5 drill. We do a max push-up test. We do a max 30-second jump rope test. So I'm just looking at some quick feet stuff to see how they are. I look at a 300-yard shuttle to see their endurance, kind of. We do just our strength deal is just with the push-ups, the max push-up test. So we just – it's kind of scaled back probably a little bit less than what they're used to, but just enough to give me an inclination of – okay, can they do, are they quick on their feet? Can they get up? Can they move around the car? Things like that.
And I guess, especially for the tire changers, they do have to get up and down quite a bit.
Right, and that's why I like the vertical and the 40-yard dash to see their explosiveness out of the gate stuff.
Yeah. As a strength and conditioning coach on the team, do you have the same workout for every pit crew member? I mean, is it the same workout across the board, or do you have position-specific kind of drills that
you
do?
It kind of fluctuates throughout the year.
Mm. Well, tell us about the year then.
Well, it's very long, as you know. It's 36 weeks next year. It's getting longer because they're taking away our off dates.
Oh, really?
I think we only have one or two off weekends next year.
Wow.
So we're actually going longer. So you've got to be able to balance the whole year. You can't go hard all year. I mean, these guys are doing thousands of pit stops between practice and over the wall. So, I kind of go in like a 6-week cycle of maybe a strength training cycle. Training all the guys the same. We'll do a 4-week maintenance cycle where we'll just do cardio flexibility stuff. And then maybe the next week we'll do a 8-week position specific workout. And I'll kind of train changers different than carriers, different than jackmen, and work on just, you know, what jackmen, they need more rotational stuff. The carriers need more rotational stuff. The changers, more explosive drills, ladder drills, and box jumps, things like that. And I kind of scale it, you know, try to do the whole year, plan it out within 6 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, maybe do a 10-week, and then get it all the way down to the chase. And once the chase starts in September, the last 10 races, I really scale back, and we do a lot of body weight training. We actually go to the YMCA and do aquatic training, a lot of yoga.
Yeah,
we do yoga every Thursday. So just kind of maintaining their strength and everything, and then getting them through the rest of the year with no injuries, and hoping for the best by the end of the year, because they really take a beating.
I mean, that's a, yeah, and that's a real big deal. There's no injuries.
Yeah. That's my number one goal every year. It's just to get everybody, maintain them, gain a little bit here and there where they need it, and injury free.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see on TV, you see the big injuries. You see the people who get hit by cars on pit road and so forth. I think there was one last week or something like that. But I don't think that's, at least from my experience, that's not the predominant injury. What kind of injuries do you see the most of in these pit crew members?
Unfortunately, we've got two going in for shoulder surgery at the end of the year. Knees give out, you know, just the overuse. It's not really the impact of cars that you see so much. It's more or less the overuse and just the constant repetitions on people's shoulders, a lot of elbow stuff. But mainly knees and shoulders are really bad. So, like I said, we've got two going in with shoulder at the end of the year. It's just from overuse, nothing they've done out of the ordinary. It's just over the years, you know, just worn down. So,
now, are most of your pit crew members, give us some average demographics. How old are they? How long have they been in the business? Is this the first thing they do, or how does someone become a pit crew member?
Well, our oldest is 39. Okay. And one of our better athletes. I mean, he's one of the top-notch jackmen on the 14 car. Our youngest, I think, is 24, 25. And we have several of those. And then it ranges anywhere in between there. So, I mean, we've got the majority are right around 30.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them have raced their whole lives. I mean, they come from either a racing background from wherever they're from, or they've gone to, like, the pit school that we have in Charlotte.
Right.
And work their way up through the series and start out in trucks and then nationwide and then work their way up. But some get lucky. You know, if you know somebody in the business and you can call them up and say, hey, I'm looking to try out, and then they can get you in the door. But you know, most of the people that we're trying out now are younger guys. They're 20. I think I tried out one the other day that was 21 and got drafted by the Nationals, had two labrum surgeries, but –
oh, wow.
All that's good back in college, so we're looking at him to maybe be a possible tire changer. So we're really looking towards the younger guys now starting out. So
yeah. Now, I've heard described some of these pit crew positions as kind of being analogous to some football positions.
Right.
For example, the jack man may be
more like a linebacker tight end type.
Yeah. And how about your tire changers and carriers?
Tire changers, believe it or not, several of our guys have actually were soccer players, myself included. I played soccer, so the quick feet stuff comes in well for that. The, you know, shorter is a little bit better. You know, under 6 foot is really good for a tire changer.
Yeah, carriers, they don't have as much and as far to go to get down right to the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The carriers, you know, they're the bigger guys. Still not really tall because you still have that range of motion, you know, when you want to be really low to the ground when you put a tire on. And then jack men, you know, they're a linebacker type, tight end, big guys. Gas men are, you know what, I mean, they could be anything. So just tall, to be tall to be a gas man.
Right, and be able to hold, 11 gallons of gas on your shoulder.
Yeah, well, gas can's a little, right close to 100 pounds, I think, so.
Wow. So I know that you've been involved in nutrition and kind of changing some nutritional and trying some nutritional programs on the team. How does nutrition play a role in a pit crew athlete's performance?
I think it plays a pretty big role. I mean, it's hard for me to get the guys to understand it. The background I'm from, I get it, and I try to tell it to them as plain as I can, you know, just common sense stuff.
Yeah.
But some of them do it, and then some of them see the results from the other people, so they understand it. But it's very important for them. I mean, they need the energy. They need the rest. I mean, it hinders them in the weight room if they don't eat good, and it hinders them outside one way or another. I mean, it makes them lackadaisical throughout the day. I mean, I try to get them to, you know, preach to them, eat a big breakfast, eat a good breakfast, and, you know, eat throughout the day to keep your metabolism up. And, you know, some of them don't listen, and they're the best on pit road. So I can't really, I can't do anything, you know, if they're doing, 11-second pit stops. I can't tell the crew chief, look, we need to get this guy eating better. You're going to have to do something with him because they're going to tell me to bite the road. So,
And the racetrack environment's not the healthiest eating environment in the world. I mean, fried chicken and hot dogs are staples at the racetrack.
We actually have a cook
That
comes with us to the racetrack that cooks for both teams, 39 and 14. And actually, it's pretty good food. You know, it's what they, you know, it's their choice. Mm-hmm. You know, he fixes grilled chicken, vegetables, you know, the rice and beef, and has huge fruit trays and salads. And they can eat good if they want to. It's just, it's their choice on what they want. And some of them eat throughout the day, and they see that, and they feel better throughout the race.
Right.
Some of them eat like crap, and they're dead halfway through it. So.
Right. Wow. It's been interesting to compare the different race series. Is that in NASCAR, or there's differences certainly in pitting the car, but there's not a lot of shade during the races.
Right.
And so many of the races are during the summer in the southern states where it is blistering hot.
Yep.
Do you ever have heat problems, or how do you guys deal with heat problems?
We haven't. And I think I can congratulate myself a little bit on that because we actually do a lot of heat training. I get these guys acclimated to the heat really early in the year, about in May. We'll actually go outside more often than not to do our workouts. So I think they've gotten pretty accustomed to it. Now, we don't work out in our fire suits, and it's a totally different story with all that on, but I think they've become really accustomed to being outside, and dealing with the humidity is just horrible in the southern states. It's really bad. So when they come out west, even if it is hot, at least it's not the humidity they're dealing with, so they get through it pretty fine. So we really haven't had any problems. There's been a few here and there instances where people just dehydration and stuff, but nothing really major.
Yeah, so you just make sure they hydrate on pit road and
absolutely
and go from there.
Yep.
Yeah. These guys are better. They're better off than so many of those fans that come to the races.
Oh, absolutely. At least they're not drinking beer.
That's true. Yeah, NASCAR's really tight on that, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah, on pit road. for all the stories about NASCAR, there is, they are very tight on what happens on pit road and in the garages. I read an article that you took your crew to Fort Benning.
Yes.
Army base.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about that and how that came about and how it helped you guys. And
it was actually last year. The Army called us up and said that they'd love to have the pit crew down, along with myself and pit coach, to come down and work out with the Rangers down there in Fort Benning.
Mm.
So we got on our jet and went down there for the day in Georgia, and they put us through the ringer.
Did they really?
Some of the guys that thought they were in shape were not in shape. And it was, myself included, it was pretty brutal what them guys go through. And just like a team bonding deal, we had lunch with all of them, and it was pretty cool. A bunch of them were flying out to Afghanistan the next day, so we got to hang out, hear their stories, and see what they did for physical training and stuff like that, and actually did a workout on their compound with them on their training ground, climbing 30-foot wall and doing push-ups in dirt and sand and mud and everything.
Wow.
So it was a pretty cool experience.
Did you get over the 30-foot wall?
No, I did not. I was done before that. I was done on the sled push. We had to carry, I think it was a 100-pound bag of sand, and we had teams. And I pretty much let my team member down. He had to pull my slack. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah. And we should point out that the Army is a sponsor on one of y'all's cars, which is tremendous exposure for the Army and the recruiting and so forth.
Yeah,
so that's really cool that you guys got to do that.
Yeah, it was a great experience for them guys, myself included.
Yeah, it's always great to interact with the military.
Yeah, eye-opener, especially to hear the stories. And the stuff they go through makes our stuff just so minute. It's unbelievable. So if they can do that with all that baggage on and all this, they can do this job very easily. So.
Yeah. Since we've come here to Texas A&M, we've been trying to infect people with the auto racing bug. And if you're talking to someone that has never watched a race and they say, you know what, these guys sound kind of interesting, I'm going to turn it on this weekend and watch. What's the one thing you would tell them to look for during the race? The one thing to pay attention to? I mean, they may say, gosh, it's boring. They drive around and around in circles. And you might say, you know, this is something you want to watch because this is some interesting stuff.
If you watch anything during the race, the most, exciting part is the pit stops. Yeah. I mean, when they zoom in on the pit stops, I mean, just watch how those guys work. I mean, it's orchestrated. I mean, it's just everybody's moving the same. It's like ballerinas, you know. It's just like synchronized.
They call it choreography, don't
absolutely,
they?
Yeah. I mean, they're doing this. Everybody's moving. There's no sudden stoppage of movement. I mean, there's somebody always moving. So it's pretty interesting to see those guys at work. Yeah. And they do it in 11 seconds. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, how fast do the cars come in when they come into pit road?
Depends on the racetrack.
When they hit your pit box. I mean, these guys step out. They can step out when the car is one box before.
Right. And they're still at Daytona, Talladega, they're still going 55 miles per hour. Most of the mile and a half tracks are 45, I think. And some places that are smaller, like the Bristol and Martinsville, Richmond, I think they're 35 miles per hour. So
I still wouldn't want to step out in front of a car at 35 miles an hour.
No. And to think they used to have no speed limits on pit road and they could come in at 200 miles per hour.
Yeah. And the guys didn't wear helmets or anything back in those days.
And they stood out on pit road with a signboard, not behind the wall. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
we got it pretty easy now.
Things are getting better, right?
Absolutely.
So we're running out of time here, Adam. Do you have a take-home message that you'd like people to remember?
If I had one thing, I would don't underestimate the guys on pit road. Don't think that they're just somebody that you can pull off the street and do those jobs. I mean, these guys are real athletes. I mean, they're obviously not NFL players currently or baseball players or something, but these guys do this job just like they do their job. So don't think that it's that easy because it's really a difficult task to do. It's very, very hard.
Yeah. And they are participating in a big show because NASCAR auto racing is the second largest spectator sport, I think, in the country. So it's still a big show.
Yes.
So thank you, Adam, so much for being here with us. It's great to see you again,
absolutely,
as always.
Yes.
And we look forward to having you back on sometime.
We'll be back in April, hopefully.
Okay. So, again, and everybody's listening to this, watch the races the rest of the season, and we want to pull for Tony Stewart in particular, but also Ryan Newman, right?
Yes, absolutely. Still in the chase.
That's right. One of your drivers as well. As we do before we conclude every podcast, we have our podcast question here. We have our producers have been busily over here working on a question.
On average, how long does a pit stop take?
Excellent question.
So be the first one to send us an email at huffeinspodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu with the correct answer, and you'll win one of those nifty Huff Eines Institute podcast T-shirts. Again, hurry and get them if you still want one of the first edition, because we are about to start launching the second edition ones before long. So with that, once again, thank you, Adam, for being here.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you who are listening for taking the time to download us. We ask, and I hope that you're with us again next week for another Leader in Sports Medicine and Human Performance. Until then, we want you to stay active and be healthy. In the week since we recorded that podcast with Mr. Davis, the Stuart Haas race team, which Mr. Davis works for, won the race at the Texas Motor Speedway, putting his driver, Tony Stewart, and his owner as well, within 3 points of the championship. What was really great is one of the first things that Tony Stewart said when he got out of the car was he praised his pit crew guys, because without them, they wouldn't have gotten off pit road first in the last pit stop, and which subsequently helped them win the race. You like drama in sports? There is no better drama than what's going on right now in the Sprint Cup Championship Series. Tony Stewart's only 3 points out of the lead. There's two races left. It's going to be one of the closest championships in many, many, many years. So tune in and enjoy it. In the meantime, we hope you stay active and healthy.
The Sports Medicine Podcast is produced by Kelsey Sachs and Cheryl Myrick and licensed by the Huff Eines Institute at Texas A&M under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. You can share it as much as you want, and you can talk or blog about it all you want. Just don't change it or charge money for it. This podcast is made possible by support from the Omar Smith family and the Sydney and J.L. Huff Eines family. Our music was composed, performed, and graciously provided by Dave Zeltner Productions, your source for quality music and music production since 1992. Find them at www.davidzeltner.com. Our opening and closing credits were provided by John Miles Productions at johnmilesproductions.com. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffeinspodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffeins Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.